Good morning. You're listening to KCAW. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock and time for a look at Raven News. I'm Chris Todd. The Sitka High Lady Wolves are this year's Region 5 champions in the 3A girls classification. The Mount Edgecombe Braves are the boys champions. The two big wins on Friday night were the climax of nearly a week of basketball in Sitka as 20 teams competed for berths to the state tournament in Anchorage later this month. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
At just about any sporting event at Mount Edgecombe's B.J. McGillis Gym, but at the Region 5 basketball tournament in particular, it's best to just check your eardrums at the door. The Mount Edgecombe Rock Band matched against the Sitka High Pep Band with only a drum line and hundreds of screaming kids separating them is pure volume. Friday night may have been the loudest of them all, as this year's season-long Battle of the Bridge boiled down to two final games and a chance for a single tournament berth at state. In the new 3A structure in Southeast, there are only Sitka, Mount Edgecombe, and Petersburg. One winner, no second place. The Sitka Lady Wolves won it all this time, 35-32 over the Mount Edgecombe Lady Braves in a game that was tied or within a basket for the duration. Lady Wolves head coach Rich Krupa says this is nothing new.
You know, they overachieved all year. They worked hard. And Edgecombe did a great job. And it was just a tooth-and-nail fight all season long with Edgecombe. And we just happened to come out on top. You know, I just love the effort the girls gave tonight.
The Lady Braves could not find their rhythm early. A three-pointer by Scarlett Beaver was their only scoring in the first period. After that, the teams began to trade baskets until the final few minutes when the game turned on free throws. Junior Megan Reed dropped in a pair, and sophomore Kayleen Kelling added a third. The Lady Wolves were up by only 1 point with 2 seconds to play when sophomore Sid Briggs went to the line, and it was deja vu all over again.
I'm trying to think of the last Sitka High girls basketball game I saw that did not end with Sid Briggs sinking some clutch free throw.
It's been a while, but... She's tough. She's a great sophomore, you know, but there's everybody contributed and everybody played a huge role in the win. So,
congratulations, Coach.
Briggs finished with 15 points for the night, Reed with 13. On the boys' side, the Mount Edgecombe Braves topped Sitka High 55-45 to take the 3A crown in a game that was closer than the score suggests. There were times during the first period when it looked like the top-seeded Wolves, who lost to the Braves on Wednesday, had found their game again. Archie Young coaches Mount Edgecombe.
Our young men played very hard tonight, and I'm just, you know, we dug ourselves a hole a few times, and we didn't play as well as we're capable of. But I thought they really showed their character and how they battled back and came back and won. I'm really proud of them. Really proud.
The Braves were down by 5 after the first period, but closed with 1 point of Sitka by the half. In the third period, the Braves looked like a different team.
So at halftime, did you settle them down or pump them up? What happened at halftime for you?
Yeah, we talked a lot about, and I don't mean this, I mean this respectfully to Sitka. I thought they played a very good first half, and I didn't think we played a very good first half at all. And we talked about the fact that we were only down one, and we weren't sure that they could play better in the second half. So I thought we could have a better second half because of how poorly we played in the first half. I didn't think we were in a bad spot.
Young also says he let John Peterson be Peterson. The Mount Edgecombe senior went scoreless in the first period, but had 25 by the time the night was done, including hitting 15 of 17 free throws, 10 in a row in the fourth quarter. Fellow senior Leo Ford was next highest for the Braves with 14. Both teams will get a week off before heading to Anchorage. Young says for his team, it will be one more week of running lines. The Braves will open the state tournament against Valdez. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
To see pictures from last week's Region 5 tournament in Sitka, visit our website, kcaw.org. The Sitka Assembly has a busy week ahead. Members meet at 5 p.m. today inside Harrigan Centennial Hall to receive an update on the Blue Lake hydroelectric expansion. It's the largest public works project in city history, and Assembly members have been receiving regular updates. Tonight's work session was scheduled before a worker was seriously injured at the construction site last week. On Tuesday, the Assembly meets in regular session. Agenda items include a $1.2 million contract to build the Sitka Seawalk. The project is a walkway that stretches from Centennial Hall to Sitka National Historical Park. Funding comes from a tax assessed on cruise passengers. The assembly will also make a final decision on a ballot question that could extend Sitka's seasonal sales tax for 2 years beyond its current sunset date. If approved Tuesday night, the measure will appear on October's ballot. It would then be up to Sitka voters whether to continue the city's extra 1% sales tax until the year 2024. Raven News also expects to follow up today on a meeting the assembly held on Saturday. Members met in executive session to discuss a personnel complaint received by the city. So far, Mayor Mim McConnell has declined to comment on the nature of the complaint or against whom it was filed. Assembly members are allowed to go behind closed doors for certain reasons. Those reasons include having conversations about pending legal matters. Legislation proposing sea otter bounties will get its first hearing this week. It's already drawing opposition from environmental groups and the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Agency. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
Fishermen harvesting Dungeness crab, gooey duck clams, and some other ocean floor species have been coming up empty in recent years. The reason is the rapid expansion of the sea otter population. The marine mammals mostly eat clams, but as they bring their voracious appetites into new areas, they clear out many of the shellfish sought by commercial subsistence and personal use divers and fishermen.
So what we're trying to do is come up with some assistance for the folks in the area that want to go out and harvest them to afford to be able to do so.
Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman represents Cake, Prince of Wales Island, and other coastal southeast communities where otters have moved in. He's authored a bill that would give Alaska Natives, the only people who can legally hunt marine mammals, a $100 reward for each pelt they take.
You've got your costs of your fuel and other items you need. Also, there's tanning cost issues, and we're just trying to assist in the harvest.
Otters were once widespread along the West Coast, from California out to the Aleutians. Russian and American hunters virtually wiped them out, except for a few remote areas. They were reintroduced to Southeast about 50 years ago. Recent studies say their numbers are growing by as much as 12% a year in some places. Federal legislation protects otters, only allowing Alaska Natives to harvest them for traditional purposes. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service spokesman Bruce Woods says states can't impose bounties.
The Marine Mammal Protection Act prohibits any state from enforcing a law that affects the take of a marine mammal without first soliciting and receiving management authority for that species from the Secretary of the Interior.
The agency is working with native hunters and craftspeople to better define the legal use of pelts. That could increase the overall harvest. Opposition to the bill is growing among some of the same organizations that campaigned against wolf control. They say otter population growth is a good thing.
They're a keystone species.
Tina Brown is president of the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. She points out that otters eat sea urchins, which eat kelp. That allows coastal Southeast to return to more of its natural balance.
When you have the kelp forests, you have nurseries for finfish. And it's thought that the kelp forests can increase herring populations, salmon populations. Another benefit is they help reduce CO2 emissions and slow ocean acidification.
And what about the hunters? Tlingit Haida Central Council Economic Development Director Carrie Sykes has been working on the issue. She says tribal members have mixed feelings.
Some people think that it would be a good idea and that it could help offset the costs of the hunting and tanning. Others are worried about what the perception will be from, you know, different organizations like Defenders of the Wildlife, and we're not really sure how it would work.
She says local tribes have more influence on the issue than the regional central council. Stedman, the Senate bill's author, says it should be considered a first draft. He expects changes as it's considered by the legislature. He also expects organized opposition.
And I recognize that there's a lot of citizens outside of Southeast Alaska that might just think this is a ghastly thing to do. But I can assure you we're better prepared to take care of our own backyard than people in San Francisco and Florida are.
Stedman's legislation comes before the Senate Resources Committee on March 13th. The House version, introduced by Anchorage Republican Representative Cherise Millett, is not yet scheduled. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can find out more about the Sea Otter issue through links posted on our website, kcaw.org. Former champion Mitch Seavey is maintaining his lead in Alaska's Iditarod Trail sled dog race. The 2004 champion left the checkpoint at Shaktulik at 1:15 this morning after resting his team for nearly 4 hours. However, Aaron Burmeister is not going to allow or wasn't going to allow Seavey to get much of a head. He followed Seavey out less than an hour later, and four-time champion Jeff King is in fourth place, just 3 minutes behind Burmeister. The finish in Nome is now just a little more than 200 miles away. From Shaktulik, teams travel across the frozen sea ice and towards Koyuk. This section of trail can be pretty dicey, especially if a blizzard kicks up. Coastal storms have ended more than one musher's dream of arriving first to Nome. And at just about 30 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock, that's Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.